Good morning, and thanks for tuning in again to Mornings for the Master right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McAlea, your host every Thursday here on Mornings for the Master. And in our program on Thursdays, we have now for a number of weeks been studying the book of 1 Peter. And today we begin chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first four verses today as Peter exhorts the elders of the church. And you know, when we think about elders today, what a glaring need there is for qualified men to serve as elders in the church today. So many congregations today are without elders. They are not in a scriptural organization. And oftentimes, this is the case of men just simply not willing to step up. Oftentimes, it is the result of poor decisions made in one's past. We need to be working with our young men even now to prepare themselves to serve at a later date. Many congregations have elders, but often it is just two. Congregations that are one heartbeat away from no eldership at all, or maybe three. But it's so often the case, the number of elders in a congregation may not be in proportion to the work that is before them or attempted. Men, it is time to step up and to prepare yourselves. And so, as we look at these exhortations to elders today, let us keep in mind the need to encourage those who have not stepped forward to do so, but also to continue to encourage those men who serve so that they will not grow weary in well-doing. So, let's get right into our thoughts for today, and we again are going to consider these first four verses today and here in chapter 5. You know, and who would be more qualified to write concerning elders than the Apostle Peter? For we know that Peter was an elder and in the church of Jesus Christ our Lord. We know at least two of the apostles were also elders. We read that in addition to Peter, that the Apostle John was also an elder. We know the Apostle Paul was not in that role, for he was not married. And the others we really don't know, but it is likely that at least one or more of them also served the church as an elder. And so Peter, being an elder, writes to the elders of the church. 1 Peter chapter 5, let's now look at verses 1 through 4. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so Peter quickly pointed out that he was an elder, that he was a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and he would encourage these men to do well in their duties. Now, as we mentioned at the outset, there is a great need for leadership today in the church, for good leadership. But at all times, and most especially during persecution, which the church in the days of Peter was undergoing persecution, but even today, the signs of persecution are growing around us. And the people of God, the church today, need good leadership. In his divine wisdom, the Lord saw fit to organize his church, and I stress his church, in such a way that the condition that he witnessed during his earthly ministry, the fact that, as was noted in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36, that the people were like sheep having no shepherd. The design of the church should cause that situation to be very short-lived. The plan of the Lord calls for local congregations to be overseen by qualified men. And again, we stress qualified men, not just any men, known as elders. And the responsibilities of these elders would be to shepherd the flock of God. And so in our text today, here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, we read of such men. And we see Peter's exhortation to them. And so as we look and examine these verses today, we should be able to at least briefly summarize what is said about elders in the Lord's church throughout the scriptures, especially in 1 Timothy and Titus. But consider the exhortation today given by Peter to the elders of the church here in chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 of 1 Peter. So let's begin, therefore, with a summary of, briefly here, a look concerning the role of elders. Now, what about elders in the New Testament church? We read in the epistles that local congregations, as soon as possible, were organized under the leadership of elders. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, as we read about the Acts of the Apostles, notice concerning elders, Acts 14 and verse 23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, in whom they had believed. Now in every example concerning elders, we have a plurality of elders in each church. Nowhere do we read of just one elder. Consider the plurality that we find in Acts chapter 20 in verse 17. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. If we were to turn another page to chapter 21, again we notice the plurality in verses 17 and 18. And when he had come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. On the following day, Paul went in with us to James, and all the elders were present. So what about the work of these men? What is the work of the eldership? Now, the work of these men can be seen by the use of terms that we see used interchangeably within the scriptures, such terms as elder, pastor, bishop, shepherd, and overseer. The fact that they refer to the same position can be evidenced by their use in the scripture. Notice that in Acts chapter 20, in verses 17 and verse 28, that elders are called overseers, bishops, and they are charged to shepherd, pastor the church. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. Acts 20 and verse 28. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. In Paul's letter to Titus, in chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, we see where an elder and a bishop, overseer, are used together. Titus 1, beginning in verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders, notice the plurality, in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination, for a bishop must be blameless, as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, and not greedy for money. In 1 Peter chapter 5 in our text, in verses 1 through 2, we see where elders are told to shepherd or pastor the flock of God, serving as overseers, bishops. Again, notice those two verses. The elders who are among you, I exhort. I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now, elders, older men, as older men, therefore, they are to watch over. They are to bishop. They are to be overseers to the flock. And they are to tend, to shepherd or pastor the sheep. Now, it mentioned older men. Now, the elders are older men of a certain age. They've been proven. They've tried. They have the experience. But not all older men are elders, but all elders should be older men. But what does the Bible say about the qualifications for elders? What must one be in order to serve as an elder? With such a great responsibility to watch over and to tend the flock of God, it's not hard for us to understand that it takes men who are truly qualified. Most of us have seen more than once when congregations would appoint a man just because he was a good old boy, or just because he had a deep pocketbook, or just because he was a good businessman, or just because he was well known in town. But those things, and those are good things, but that alone does not qualify a man to serve as an elder. The Scripture gives us two lists of qualifications for elders. These are found in 1 Timothy and Titus. Go with me now to 1 Timothy chapter 3, and there let's look at verses 1 through 7. This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop, then, must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, able to teach, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not covetous, one who rules his own house well, having his children in submission with all reverence. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, How will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice. Lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Also, in addition to that, let's notice the list of qualifications given in Titus chapter 1 and verses 5 through 9. Here, Paul talking to Titus. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking, and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict. Now we must consider, what is our responsibility to the elders? What are we as Christians to do in regard to the office of the elders? It is to recognize and respect them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Also, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder except from two or three witnesses. Those who are sinning, rebuke in the presence of all, that the rest also may fear. We have a responsibility to obey and be submissive when they lead scripturally. Again, consider 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 12 and 13. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Now, back in 1 Peter 5, let's notice verse 5. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Think of elders then as your spiritual advisors, as shepherds who are supposed to be mature, experienced Christian men who are charged by God with the responsibility to watch out for your souls. And so, with these thoughts now on our mind concerning our responsibility to the elders, now let's consider Peter's exhortation to the elders. Now, the basis for this exhortation, it is, one, that it is coming from one who is a fellow elder. Peter could have commanded the brethren by simply using his apostolic authority. But by choosing to practice what he will preach in verse 3, Peter chose to exhort them as a fellow elder. Peter, as one coming from being a witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, Peter has most certainly been an eyewitness of the sufferings of Jesus. But he has also been a personal partaker of the suffering of Christ, as was described earlier. Chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And this is further witness of the sufferings of Peter when we go to Acts chapter 5 and notice verses 40 and 41. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And so will be a partaker of the same glory referred to in verse 4 of our text. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And so now we want to turn our attention to the exhortation of Peter himself. Notice verses 2 and 3 again. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So Peter gave the instruction to the elders of the church to shepherd the flock of God in verse 2. They are to tend, to pastor to the people of God. And so, for this reason, we see some of the qualifications that an elder must be in order to fulfill this role. He must be able to teach, as we saw in 1 Timothy 3 and verse 2. To tend or pastor the flock of God, he must be able to meet the qualifications found in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9. To be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convict those who contradict. And as Paul told the elders of the church in Ephesus, this involves taking heed to themselves as well. Notice Acts chapter 20, verses 28 to 30. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will arise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Notice they're to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Their responsibility, thus, is for the sheep in the congregation where they serve. Even as Paul told the Ephesian elders, as we just read in Acts 20 and verse 28, the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The concept of one or more elders, bishop or pastors, over a plurality of churches, is foreign to the New Testament. You can find no evidence of such. Elders are to be serving as overseers of the flock which is among them. Here, Peter summarizes the work of elders as being to oversee the flock of God. But notice, very importantly, that Peter calls this oversight as serving. In keeping with what is said later, the role of an elder is one of a servant, not a lord over. And this service is to be done not by constraint, but willingly. A man cannot be appointed to serve against his will. I have known men that, from all I can tell, meet all of the other qualifications of an elder. They simply do not have the desire. You cannot force a man to serve against his will. Indeed, there is nothing wrong with desiring the office of an elder. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, "This is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work." But the moment he loses the desire to serve willingly, he should step down, for he will not be able to serve as he ought to. And the service of an elder must also be not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Now we should note here, it is perfectly scriptural for an elder to be financially supported for his work. Again, recall 1 Timothy 5, verses 17 and 18. "Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain, and the laborer is worthy of his wages." And though an elder may be compensated for his service, the motive for his service must never be money. It must be an eagerness to save souls. That is why Peter said, "Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you." Now, as it was implied before, the oversight is a position of service. It is not to be abused by assuming a dictatorial role. Indeed, it is a very sobering thought that the elders are entrusted with the souls that are under their care. And the elders will be called to give an account for those of which they have oversight. Notice Hebrews 13 and verse 17. "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you." And the elders are told by Peter also to be examples to the flock. Just as sheep are best led and not driven, so it is with the people of God. Qualified elders will have much less problems getting people to follow them and submitting to their care when this is the case. When elders do not provide examples of spirituality, the flock is more likely to rebel against their leadership. So, what then is our motivation to heed this exhortation of Peter? First, perhaps we need the reminder that elders are also under authority. There is only one who is the chief shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ our Lord, and he will one day appear. One to whom they will have to give an account, as we noted a moment ago in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17. But more positively is the promise of recognition for faithful service. We think back to chapter 1 and verse 4. You will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. Like the inheritance reserved in heaven, that does not fade away, according to chapter 1 and verse 4. And so, as we bring our study today to a close, there are things that we need to take from these first four verses in chapter 5. And one of those is that those who serve Christ and his church well as elders are certainly worthy of the crown of glory that awaits them. Hopefully, as we better understand the exhortation that is given by Peter, we will more appreciate the work the elders do in the kingdom of God. And with that, we should then esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. So as Christians, we should obey and be submissive so that they can watch out for our souls with joy and not grief. One more time, let's remember Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable to you. Now next week, if the Lord wills, we will continue here in chapter 5, and we'll begin by noting Peter's exhortations to those who are younger in relation to the elders and the more aged. I hope that you'll join me. I want to thank you for joining me today. I have enjoyed our time together today, and I look forward, if the Lord wills, to us being together next week at this same time. Remember that this program will be replayed this evening at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time and will be posted to the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. Remember to tune in tomorrow and join Brother Chip Horton at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time for another edition of Mornings for the Master right here on the Gospel Radio Network. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, and I hope you have a wonderful day.